Welcome to Torah Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yechezkel, Parak Kaf Bet, Chapter 22. Last parak, we talked about the sword making its way with the king of Babel into Yerushalayim and the destruction that was caused by it. We learned that it was actually not the king of Babel who was pointing the sword at Yerushalayim, but Hashem, judging Bnei Yisrael for their actions. In Parak Kaf Bet, Chapter 22, we find out what those actions were. Why are they worthy of such a harsh punishment? What specifically did they do? In Parak 18, Yechezkel explained that there was a lack of tzedek and mishpat in Yerushalayim. And here we see what that means. What does it mean to be a city that's lacking in righteousness? There's a litany of sins in this parak, and they are hard to hear. It starts off in Pasuk Gimel, calling them an ir shofechet dam betocha, a city that spills blood within it. Va'asa gilulim aleha l'tum'ah, and they make idols to profane the city. But it doesn't stop there. It keeps going. Av ve'em hekelu bach, in Pasuk Zion, these are people that make fun of their parents. L'ger asu ba'osek betocheich, in this city, they oppress the stranger. They don't help the stranger. They don't take in and welcome the stranger. They look to hurt the stranger. Yatom va'almana honuba. They look at the weakest members of society, the widow and the orphan, and instead of saying to them, you need help. How can we support you? They take them and they push them down. They use them for their own gain. Pasuchet, kedashai bazita. You profaned my holy places. Ve'et shabtotai chilita. And you went and profaned my Shabbos, the holiest day of the week. We keep going. Anshe rachil hayu pasuchet. You're people who talk about each other. You tell tales. You gossip. That's the kind of society that you're in. You don't support. You push down. Laman shfoch dam. This actually ends up killing people. Whether we're talking here about embarrassment or actual killing, telling tales and speaking lashon hara actually can cause death. It doesn't always have to happen by murder, like we talked about in Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk 11 describes how they do all different types of adultery with all the people that are on the list of forbidden relationships and forbidden circumstances. Pasuk Yudbet tells us, shocha lakach uvach. They take bribes. We're talking about a society that's not honest. The judges judge for the people who give them money. Nobody can get a fair shot in this society. Even if you could, in theory, bring someone to court, the judge is bribed. Laman shvoch dam. That also causes death. There's lots of ways to hurt people in this society. Neshech v'tarbit lakachta, you lend money with interest, you're always looking to make a buck, to get ahead, you're not allowed to do that. The sins here in Parak Kaf Bet, says the Dat Mikra, relate very, very closely to the lists in Vayikra, Parak Yetzet and Kaf, chapters 19 and 20, which is Parsha Kedoshim. Kedoshim to you. You need to be holy. And when we learn that Parsha, we see how to be holy. A list that includes honoring your parents, keeping Shabbos, not oppressing orphans and widows and strangers, and not engaging in this list of forbidden relationships, which we find also in Parsha Kedoshim. And therefore, says Hashem in Pasuk Tevav, I'll disperse you among the nations. This society can't hold. The society can't stand together. V'nachalti bach le'inei hagoyim, in Pasuk Tet Zayin 16, V'yadat ki ani Hashem, you're going to become profaned, chilul, like chilul Shabbat, the same shoresh. You are going to become profaned in the eyes of the nations. And when that happens, v'yadat ki ani Hashem, you will know that it is I, Hashem, who did this to you. You made chalal, you profaned all of the things that were supposed to be kept holy. Family structures, with your illicit relationships and making fun of parents. You profaned time with desecrating Shabbos. You profaned place by desecrating Hashem's holy places. You profaned community relationships, business ethics, and the name of Hashem. And now you will also be profaned among the nations. You will be desecrated. Pasuk Yud Zayin, through Kaf Bet 17 to 22, brings a mashal of metal filled with impurities. Says Pasuk Yud Chai Ben Adam, Hayuli Beit Yisrael Lasig, כולם נחושת ובדיל וברזל באופרת בתוך כור סיגים כתף היו. Son of man, this is of course Hashem speaking to Yechezkel. Bnei Israel were like impurities in silver. All of them are brass and tin and iron and lead. And they're going to now be thrown into the furnace. They are the impurities of silver. What does Yechezkel mean by this mashal? So this mashal of metal filled with impurities comes from a very important nevuah of Yeshayahu's in Parak Aleph. In his first opening parak that we read on Shavat Chazon, he tells the people of his time, Kaspech haya lesigim, your silver is filled with impurities. This metaphor is not only a metaphor. One of the ways that people would cheat other people, especially the poor, was by filling their silver with impurities and passing it off as pure silver. This is what the society had been doing since the time of Yeshayahu, perhaps with a break during the time of Yoshio, maybe a break in the time of Chizkiah when they actually had good kings, but really since that time, the society had been oppressing poor people. They pass off their silver as pure. They cheat them. That was a way that people cheated. And it's also a metaphor. They pass themselves off as pure. But deep inside, there are so many impurities which they weaponize to hurt others. Nobody can tell by looking at a silver coin what it really contains. And no one can tell by a judge which bribes he took or didn't take. Nobody could tell by looking at a person, says Yeshayahu, who seems to be on the outside serving Hashem, what they're actually doing. This was the message that Yechezkel has been telling the Zakenim. You come to me and you ask for nevuah, but I know that you're really not good people. And no one can tell from a society looking on at them at the outside how they act towards the people weaker than them. How are you with the widow and orphan? I'm not talking about how you are with the people that are on your social strata, but how do you act towards people weaker than you? And this society oppresses them. They're horrible to the widow and orphan. But Hashem knows. And when this metal, the silver that's filled with tin and lead and brass, is put into the furnace, when the judgment comes, when Hashem is ready to really look closely at their society and not give them another chance after another chance, then says Pasuk Kaf Aleph, V'kinasti etchem, V'nafachti aleichem ba'ish, Evrati, minitachtem betocha, I'm going to gather you and I'm going to put you in the fire, my wrath, and you are going to be melted. There aren't enough good deeds to keep the silver together. Then you're going to be exposed for who you really are, and you're going to be punished for it. And then in Pasuk Kaf Bet, Hashem starts to look at all the different strata of society. Is there anyone here in this city that could, in theory, get the people back on track? We start with the Nevi'im. And instead of helping the people, the Nevi'im prophesize falsely. And perhaps they are the most to blame. Pasuk Kaf Hei, Kesher Nevi'eha B'tocha. There's this conspiracy of prophets amongst her. Ka'ari Sho'eg Tarif Taraf. They're like this roaring lion that eat their prey. Achlu Nefesh achalu, they eat people's souls. Chosen vikari chu, armnotea haribu betocha. They take treasures from people. They make widows in her city. These nevi'ei sheker, these false prophets, prop up the bad people by telling them they don't have to change a bit. They take bribes to give prophecy, and they also prop up Tzidkiah's rebellion by telling him it will be successful. Instead of helping their society, they are like a ravaging lion, leaving widows in their wake. Next, we turn to the priests. Maybe the Kohanim will help the society. Pasuk Kafav says no. Kohanei chamsu torati v'yichalulu kadshi ben kodesh l'chol lo hivdilu ben tamei l'tahor lo hidiu u'mishab totai ha'alimu einayim achel b'tocham. These priests, these Kohanim, they have done violence to my Torah, Hamas. They've done Hamas to my Torah. And they have profaned the things that are holy, just like the people that we've described in the beginning of the parak by Chalulu Kachi. They can't tell the difference between what's Kodesh and what's Chol. That's their whole job. Bein Tamei L'Tahor, Lo Hidiu. They don't know how to teach what's the difference between pure and impure. That is literally their entire job, is to teach the people to be Kodesh, to be Tahor, to be holy, to be pure. But they themselves, they can't tell the difference. Instead, they hide their eyes from my Shabbos, and they make me achel from the word chol, chalalu. They make me profaned among them. They teach wrong things about Hashem. Next, let's turn to the political officers in Pasuk of Zion. No, sareh bekerbam kezeivim. The political officers are like wolves searching for prey. They're just looking for bribes to make themselves rich. Okay, who comes next? Pasuk kavchet. Nevi'eha. We're back to the false prophets. Nevi'eha tachu lahem tofel. Chuzim shav v'kosmim lahem kazav. Omrim ko amar Hashem. Elokim v'Hashem lo diber. They see these false visions and they whitewash things. They just literally lie. They make up lies and they say Hashem says things. And Hashem says, I did not say that. Radak says that the Nevi'im are mentioned twice because really they cause so much of the bad. Nobody has to change when the Nevi'im tell them that everything's okay. And then if you think it's only the leaders, well, what about the regular people? Maybe they're not corrupted. That's Pasuk Kavtet, Am Ha'aretz, Asaku Osek, V'Gazlu Gazel. No, the people, they oppress, they steal. V'aniva Avyon Honu, they oppress the poor people, the people who can't protect themselves. Etagera Saku Belo Mishpat, they oppress the stranger without justice. They don't stand up to their leaders. They don't ask them to lead them to a better society. Instead, they enjoy it. They oppress the ones weaker than them. The example of their leaders is not an anathema to them. Instead, they embrace it. They do it also. An environment of oppression is the air that they breathe. Everyone in this society is looking to get ahead by pushing aside the one who's right beneath them, just as they are pushed aside and oppressed by the people that have power over them. Nobody is breaking the cycle. No one is there to yell stop. Va'avakesh mehem, says Hashem, in one of the last psukim of this parak, ish goder geder, va'amad ba'perek. I'm looking for one person who's going to build a wall, who's going to stand in the gap. On behalf of the land, so that I could not destroy it. Maybe I'll find somebody that can bring the society to a better place. I can't find one person. We remember the vision of Yirmiyahu wandering around Yerushalayim looking for one good person and not being able to find him. This language of standing in the gaps was the way that Yechezkel described the Nevi'ei Sheker in Parakid Gimel, chapter 13. Nevi'im are supposed to stand in the gaps of the wall, defending the people from the spiritual threat that lies beyond. Instead, they themselves make the wall weaker. Yechezkel turns to the city. Now Yechezkel turns to the walled city of Yerushalayim and looks for anyone, a Navi, a Kohen, a political leader, a regular person who's willing to stand in the gaps, looks for the weaknesses in the society and try to fill them in with his or her own voice and deeds. He looks and he sees no one. The walls are not strong. The walls, their society, are going to crumble. Somebody has to say, the walls aren't strong. We aren't good. Let's change. They're not going to hold back the enemy. Who is a leader who stands in the gaps? The Dot Mikra connects this pasuk to the pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 103, pasuk Kuf Gimel, which is Kuf Gimel, Kuf Gimel, which discusses the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel. And it says there, Vayomer lahashmidam, Hashem wanted to destroy them. Lulei Moshe b'chiro amad b'peretz lefanav, if not for Moshe, his chosen one, standing in the gap before him, lahashiv chamato mehashrit, to turn Hashem's anger away so that they won't be destroyed. Moshe was a leader who stood in the gaps. He was certainly not a yes man. He took on the people. He called them out to be their best selves and reprimanded them when they did wrong. And even when they did do wrong, he cried and prayed to Hashem to help them. He certainly didn't take bribes and try to enrich himself. He certainly didn't push people down to raise himself up. He was a true leader, one who put himself between Hashem and the people, calling the people to be better and calling Hashem to forgive them when they weren't. The judgment of the city is sealed not by the Babylonians and not even by idolatry, but by the people's own deeds, by the corrupt society of oppression that they've created. Will there be any people who try to reform themselves and their society? Will there be any leaders who set a good example? Will there be any leader who will ask Hashem to forgive him? In this society, there is no one. The society of Yehuda is no better than Egypt, no better than the 10 tribes, no better than Sodom. The warning of Parshat B'chukotai is coming true. If you don't keep the basic laws of Parshat Kedoshim, If you don't keep the basic laws of a good society, then Hashem will eventually have to destroy and exile you for their sins. But there isn't no one. Yechezkel's words stand. And that's why we have to keep reading. Say for Yechezkel today. When they, the Babylonians, build their new society afterwards, it will hopefully be one that changes this course. Thank you for learning together, Le'ilo Nichma, Barbara Atlas. Barbara Bas Abraham, Bracha Bas Abraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.